Hey, this is Leo for actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about the lower versus the higher self. You are like a light switch, meaning that you have basically two modes on which you can run. On and off. Or, in other words, the lower self and the higher self. What is the lower self? The lower self is who you are when you're fearful, when you're mean, when you're petty, when you're untruthful, when you're selfish. The higher self is when you're calm, when you're kind, noble, generous, truthful, and selfless. And in the human organism, if we think of the human organism as a machine, it's like you have this switch, and the switch can be flipped at any time and can send you from the regular place that you're at, which is usually the higher self, it can send you down into the lower self. And this is really the difference between the animal inside you and the human inside you. The lower self is like the animal, the beast. Although, in a sense, it's kind of a slight and a slander on animals to say that. Because it's interesting, with the human organism, the human is capable of being like hyperhuman and embodying everything that's the most noble about humanity when you're in your highest self. But when you're in your lowest self, it's like the flip opposite of that, 180 degrees. And in fact, you're much worse than an animal. And the things that a human being does from the lower self are really damaging, both to the individual who does it, but also to the people around that person, and also to society at large, right? And most of the issues and problems that we have in society, any like really serious problems that we have in our own personal lives, often come from the fact that this switch gets flipped, and we're not conscious of the fact that the switch is getting flipped. So I want to talk a little bit about that here right now. And I'm going to give you two key insights here in this episode. And the first key insight is the following. There is a boundary between the lower and the higher self. And this boundary is something that you probably have never thought about and you're totally unconscious of. But here's the insight. This boundary is being threatened. When you are threatened, you go into your lower self. And the crazy thing is that this happens for most people unconsciously. They're not aware that this is going on. And that creates a lot of problems. I want to give a credit to Eben Pagan for introducing me to this insight here. It's a very, very powerful and rare insight that most people do not make in their lives. And this creates all sorts of problems, which is why it's so important. So think about this. If you're making a decision from your lower self, chances are it's going to be a disastrous decision. Also, if you're trying to take some action in your life from the lower self, it's probably going to be a disastrous action or behavior. And if you're making some sort of plans for your life or setting goals for your life from a position of the lower self, then that's going to be a disastrous plan that you're making. So why is this issue important? Well, for these reasons, because we don't want you making bad decisions, bad behaviors, and bad plans, right? And, people who really screw their lives up, one of the most common ways is this issue right here. Something happens, they get pissed off, or they get really afraid, they get threatened in some way, they get sent down from their usual high self, which is, nice, and then they get sent down to this mean, petty, brutal person. And then they do something or say something that they really regret and can never take back, and then this destroys their life. And really, that could happen once or twice, but it's really bad when it keeps happening repeatedly and you don't understand that it's going on with you. And the crazy thing is that you can be a very intelligent person and still not be conscious and aware of the fact that this is happening to you. So there's a distinction to be made here between intelligence, which is one thing, which is not really that important. But on the other hand, emotional intelligence and awareness, which is completely crucial to the results that you get in your life. So when we say that the threat that you experience sends you from a higher self into the lower self, what are we talking about? Well, clearly, we're obviously talking about physical danger. If you get into a situation where you are in physical danger, for example, maybe you're driving your car and then all of a sudden something happens and you realize that, oh shit, you're really in trouble here in the next couple of seconds, right? You had one of those moments while driving. Even if nothing bad happens to you, ultimately, still you sense that physical danger and all of a sudden it sends you into that flight or fight response, right? It's a physical threat. So that's obvious stuff. Or if there's someone stalking you in a dark parking lot, then you're going to sense that you're in physical danger and you're going to get flipped into your lower self. But what's interesting is that there's also triggers that are more subtle. And these are the ones you really got to watch out for. Because the physical danger stuff, most of us aren't really always like in physical danger. That's a rare situation that happens to us. And actually, a lot of times, we respond fine to that. The problem is when you start responding or just reacting from your lower self to some of these other threats. So here's some categories for you. So for example, money. A whole category of threats can be subsumed under that. So money threats. There's triggers there that could trigger you, right? So what do? You fear going broke? Do you fear like someone's going to steal some money from you, or you feel like you're not going to be able to make more money in the future? Something like that. How about family triggers? The family category, huge. How many of us are triggered by stuff relating to our family that we don't like? We're going to see that person. We're going to have to talk to this person. We're going to have to negotiate something there. And those triggers send us into the lower self. Also, intimate relationships is a huge category. Career is a huge category. Reputation is a huge category. Think about situations where your reputation is on the line, and that's a trigger for sending you into your lower self. Or also think about belief systems. Think about if you hold a religion or you have religious dogmas, or if you have some sort of scientific background or you have scientific dogmas and beliefs, and you have to defend all that. And whenever those come under threat, then you feel like you have to defend. And when you're doing that defending, you're dropping into your lower self. So the question is, are you aware of what triggers you to cross this boundary? The idea of this entire episode is very simple, right? It's just that there's this boundary and you're crossing it, and this boundary is just a threat. But you need to actually get mindfulness and awareness around this in your own life. And you need to see what are the individual idiosyncratic triggers that you personally have. Because each of us has a unique constellation of triggers that send us into this kind of fear mode. The question is, what is that for you? You need to start identifying that and getting more and more clear about it. And one of the best ways is just maybe to keep a journal or a diary. And any time that you actually do get sent down into your lower self and you later notice it, you write down the situation. So maybe you come home after work and you're in a conversation with your spouse and you two are talking about something, and then all of a sudden some issue comes up and it's like, that's the issue that triggers you to go from higher self to lower self. Whatever that is, maybe it's money, maybe it's the in-laws, maybe it's, the discussion about having children, or maybe it's about, some religious view. Usually what would happen is that you would just get sucked in to the lower self and not even realize that that's what happened. You two would just have a big argument and you'd kind of know why it happened. But on the other hand, you didn't really understand why it happened, right? And from that lower self, maybe you did something nasty or stupid or mean that then ruined your relationship. So that's just one example, right? I'm sure you can fill in the blanks and come up with your own examples of how this works. So you need to start to do this work of actually identifying this stuff, not just taking it as a theory, because as a theory, you know, this is nice, but when you identify it, that's when it really hits home to you, when you actually see it in action. And here's the second key insight that I want to give you here. What's the actual mechanism by which this lower self gets activated? Sure, there's this boundary, you get threatened, but how is it actually happening? What happens when you're in your lower self? This key insight came from my meditation retreat, which I just came back from. And what I noticed there was something very interesting. First of all, I heard the facilitator talking about the emotional body. And he said a very curious thing, which really piqued my interest. He said that one of the most important ways in which mindfulness can help us as human beings in everyday life is to make us more aware of how our emotional body revs up. And that made me very curious. And in fact, he said that the way he designed his whole system and the way that he uses the language to explain mindfulness to make certain distinctions in your mind, his whole model for mindfulness was basically kind of, one facet of it was designed in such a way that it would help you to be able to identify this within yourself while it's happening. And I didn't quite, you know, I kind of intellectually understood what he meant, but I didn't get like an experiential sense of what he meant until I was meditating, and I was meditating outside for most of the retreat, next to this little nice, beautiful little wooden chapel, just like this small little private chapel. And there was a bench, and I was sitting outside, and it was this place kind of near the woods, so there's a lot of insects flying around. And I was sitting there meditating for the whole week, and what I noticed is that there's a lot of wasps flying around me. And at first it just kind of seemed like, oh, just, you know, random wasp here and there. That's normal. But then I looked around as I was, you know, setting up my bench one morning, and I discovered that, oh shit, there's a wasp nest right behind me as I'm sitting on my bench, and it's kind of near the ground. And I'm sitting on this balcony, and no wonder all these wasps are flying around me when I'm meditating. It's because I'm sitting in their flight path. It's like they're flying to and from their home. And I'm like right in the middle of it, sitting there trying to meditate. But, you know, it was a beautiful spot. So I wanted to keep the spot. I didn't want to move. And what I did is I just said, okay, I'm just going to kind of deal with it. I'm going to sit through it. But the very interesting thing that happened to me is that, see, the problem is that the emotional body revs up inside of you probably many times a day in your life, but you don't actually notice it. You're not mindful enough. You don't have enough awareness. This is a muscle that needs to be developed. So when I was sitting there, I got a really interesting kind of science experiment just fall on my lap, because I was sitting there and I was meditating and I was getting into a place where I could really totally calm myself down. And if you ever get into that kind of meditative place where you calm yourself down completely and you get a real clear sense of what's going on in your body emotionally, like you get in touch with all the different sensations in your body, what you're going to notice is that there's a very clear and palpable sense like, oh, I'm relaxed and everything is normal and cool and I can just be calm. And you notice that there's like a lack of any kind of churning emotions or any kind of like churning sensations in the stomach or in the chest or any kind of like tingling sensations in your limbs, stuff like that. But then when a threat presents itself, and this is actually the interesting thing here, because usually when you're meditating, you don't get threatened very often. But this was interesting because the wasp, as I'm meditating with my eyes open, the wasp flies by my face and I can't help but go into an emotional reaction, even though like I'm not doing it consciously. It just happens to me, right? Because in humans, we're hardwired to have phobias of spiders and snakes and various insects. So this was very curious because I was sitting there and I was totally peaceful and calm. But then this wasp just flies and hovers near me. And all of a sudden I can see like, holy shit, my emotional body just lit up like a Christmas tree, right? I could see it. It's like it's getting going and getting going and getting going, right? And it starts as like a sensation in your lower abdomen. And then maybe it moves up into your chest and maybe your hands and feet get involved and your limbs get involved and then your mind gets triggered and your mind starts flashing pictures to you of a wasp like biting you in the eye or, you know, biting your eyeball out or landing on the back of your neck when you're meditating and stinging you multiple times in a row or something like that, right? You start getting these like fantasies of a killer wasp out hunting for you. Or maybe the whole family of wasps is going to come join this one wasp and they're all going to sting you to death. That's literally what your mind starts coming up with once the emotional body revs up more and more and more. And what's fascinating is if you ever get the chance to just sit there and watch how your emotional body revs up and then also revs back down and then revs back up and then revs back down, then you start to really get this sense like, oh man, this is a really important skill to develop, is this ability to sense when this emotional body is doing what. Now, I was sitting there, and this was like a perfect science experiment, because I was sitting there in almost like this lab setting where I could isolate the variables. The problem is that most people in their lives, they don't get this kind of opportunity. And in fact, just the other day, I was sitting and doing some work, right? And only because I've been meditating a lot over the last couple of weeks, after I finished the work and I just took a little break, sat down on the couch, I realized, holy shit, I was just working for 50 minutes and my entire emotional body was like lit up like a Christmas tree. But I wasn't really aware of it until I just came out of that work session and into my break. And now I'm sitting here trying to practice a little bit of mindfulness. And now I can actually see like, oh man, there's all this like emotional, weird emotional sensation happening in my lower abdomen. And I can really feel it and it's there. And it's not that easy to just let it all go. I actually have to sit there and practice meditation for maybe 2 or 3 minutes just to start to get it to rev down and rev down and rev down and kind of just put me into a really nice, calm, even, grounded place. Now, that's something that you get when you do meditation practice and mindfulness practice, which is what most people are missing out on, right? They think that meditation is just going to give them, you know, something or some calming of the mind, but they don't understand that they're going to get these critical distinctions that now you can apply to places in your life, right? And it's like a muscle that you have to build up, this mindfulness muscle. So what I'm talking about here, this insight of the emotional body revving up, I don't mean that just as soon as it revs up that instantly you're in your lower self. Usually what happens is that it revs up and you're still cool. But then it revs up a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And after a certain point, you know, it revs up enough that it just kind of like becomes this snowball that's rolling down the hill and it's totally lost control and it's turned into an avalanche, which is now this powerful thing and it's unstoppable. And that's when you're in your lower self, when that avalanche, you know, when that snowball turns into an avalanche. And so why mindfulness is so powerful and meditation is such a powerful practice is that you can start to see when the snowball starts rolling, when it's still a little baby snowball, before it turns into an avalanche, and you can prevent it from becoming an avalanche. Not even by trying to control it necessarily, but just simply by observing it. It's crazy that just simply observing what's happening in your emotional body is enough to make it dissipate and go away. Whereas when you're not observing it, and you don't even know that this is happening inside you, what happens is there tends to be this just runaway effect, and you just get blindsided by this thing. So one thing I recommend is that if you do have a hornet's nest near your house, then go try this out. This is a really cool experiment. Go try meditating outside, and make sure you're sitting there with your eyes wide open so you can see all the wasps flying around you. Maybe you want to even put some food for them that they can come near you, right? And just see how your emotional body revs up. It's a really cool exercise to do. But also, you know, not everyone has a hornet's nest near them, so it's a little hard to engineer that. All right, so that's the two key insights. Now, you might ask, okay, I get the theory. Now, what do I do with this, Leo? Well, here's some action steps for you. Number one is make sure that you make a commitment right now and for the rest of your life to never make decisions when you're in your lower self. Now, of course, this implies that you have the ability to be aware of when you're actually in your lower self. So what that means in practice, if you want to actually honor this commitment, is that you have to build your awareness muscles so that you can see when that line is actually crossed and when you do step down into your lower self. There's a couple of ways you can do this. One way is to just let it happen to you, and you're only going to be able to tell after the fact, right? So maybe your spouse says something nasty to you, and that sends you into your lower self, and you don't realize it for a day, and you have this huge blowout argument with your spouse. But then, you know, the next day in the morning, you realize, like, oh, shit, I got sent into my lower self, and I didn't even realize it. But at least I realize it now. Okay, so that's how it happened. And then you kind of retrace your steps. So there's that way. That's kind of like the trial and error approach. You know, not the best way, but that one works for people in a pinch. So you can use that. You got to remember, though, to do that, right? Otherwise, you're going to forget. Maybe keep a journal or a log of all these incidents that happened to you of crossing the line. So that's one way. Another way is just practicing more meditation. Another way might be doing this WASP, this WASP experiment, that I told you, right? So there's multiple little techniques you can employ to do this. The other thing you should do as an action step is make a commitment to disengage from people when you're in your lower self. We don't want you making decisions when you're in your lower self. We also don't want you engaging with people. Why not? Because probably you're not going to have something nice to say when you're in your lower self. Probably you're going to be a dick. Probably you're going to be a bitch. Probably you're going to say something nasty. Probably you're not going to really be generous or magnanimous very truthful or very honest, right? Probably you're going to be quite selfish. So all of these things we'd like to avoid in our lives because there's a lot of bad fallout that comes from behaving that way. So one simple solution is just to disengage from people, and actually you can tell them, hey, I'm in my lower self right now, so I don't want to engage you. So maybe, you know, your spouse is talking to you and you guys are in the middle of a conversation and you're sensing that it's getting heated and you sense that, oh, I just crossed the line. And if you have enough of awareness of that, then you can just tell your spouse, hey, you know, let's just cut this conversation off right now. I'm going to go, you know, watch some TV for an hour because I sense that I just got triggered into my lower self and I don't want to say or do something that I'm going to regret. And just actually say that to your spouse and just see what happens. You'll probably get a much better reaction than you normally would, right? Or if you're engaging with your boss at work or with your employees, same kind of deal, right? As soon as you sense yourself getting triggered into your lower self, find a way just to distract yourself to not have to deal with that situation right there so that you can just take a little bit of time off, your emotional body can rev down, and then you can come back clear-headed and deal with the situation in a more empowering way. So make that commitment too. Also, practice mindfulness of the emotional body revving up. This is a more subtle thing than actually crossing the line. And this is something you can do on a daily basis. Just after, you know, go work for a couple of hours and then get off of work and then just come sit on your couch or sit in a chair at your office and just meditate for 5 minutes and just see, calm yourself down and just see where were you at before and where are you at now. What you're probably going to notice is that you're so stressed during the day and you don't even notice that you're stressed because it just becomes like, you know, like you're a fish in water. You don't notice the water. It's only when you calm yourself down and actually put yourself into a meditative state that you can actually finally realize by way of contrast, like, oh, damn, I was stressed for 2 hours. And only now I can realize why I was stressed and the fact that it's happening somewhere in my body. And you're going to get more and more experience with that. And then you're going to get better and better mindfulness muscles. So that's a good way to practice that. Another thing you should do is change the structure of your life if you need to remove the triggers that send you into a threat mode. So if you're living in a part of town where there's gangs and violence, then you probably not don't want to just want to like sit there and get accustomed to that. You probably actually want to go and change your neighborhood. Or, you know, if you're living in some third world country where there's some safety issues and you feel like you're in physical harm, you probably want to change your location or maybe change where your house is positioned, something like that. Maybe get some stronger locks on your door. I mean, it's okay to actually go out and take some action to fix this stuff, right? It's not just all mental. But also, you know, beyond the physical danger stuff, you need to get more awareness around the triggers that you have. So money, family, relationships, you know, all that stuff we talked about, career, your reputation. And once you know those triggers, then you got to actually change the structure of your life to remove the worst triggers. Because if you're living your life in this way where you're constantly triggered by these things all the time, and that's just a function of the environment that you've created for yourself, then you know what? You know, all the personal development in the world is not going to really help you, because you do need to work on these triggers. So maybe you have a boss that's always yelling at you and berating you at work. And maybe that's always sending you into your lower self because you always feel threatened when he's yelling at you. Okay, well, you probably want to consider changing jobs or moving to another department at work, right? That's what I would call a structural change to your life. But before you can do that, first you need to recognize what are the triggers. So the last action that I want you to take is go get some coaching or some therapy, or if you can't afford that, then sit down and really do some serious journaling yourself and ask yourself this question. What are the most common triggers for me that send me into my lower self? That's the key question for you. And this might be something you can sit down and think about right now and come up with some examples. But also it might be something you got to actually do over the weeks and months, because you're probably not going to be aware of these triggers until they actually start happening to you. And now you know these ideas that I've talked to you about, right? Now you have these distinctions, which you didn't have before. So sit down and slowly, progressively make this list of triggers so you know what they are. And, you know, you can get coaching on those, you can get therapy on those, you can go buy some self-help books that will help you to deal with those. You basically have to unwire them. What you're going to discover is that a lot of those triggers, they probably go back far into your past. The roots of that trigger stem all the way back, you know, to your childhood somewhere, maybe to your earliest memories, or maybe to the dysfunctional relationship you had with your mother or with your father or with your sister or your brother, something like that. That's usually what it is. And, you know, those can involve some work to unwire. That's why therapy is so popular, because therapy does that. That's why coaching is popular, because coaching helps you to do that. And it can be difficult to unwire a trigger like that all by yourself, because usually what happens is that you're so sucked into the trigger that, again, you're like a fish in water. You don't notice that this trigger is actually not a part of you. It's kind of like an artificial, dysfunctional part of you. So a lot of times it helps a third person to look at your situation to kind of give you some guidance, which is why therapy or coaching can be so effective. But you can do it yourself if you're very determined. All right, so that's it. Those are your action steps. Go ahead and do this, and I will see you soon. This is Leo. I'm signing off. Post me your comments down below. Click the like button, please. Share this video with a friend, and come sign up to my newsletter at actualized.org. Beyond the newsletter, which is free, which updates you with all the free videos that I release every single week, I also have a lot of resources there, some courses and stuff you can take. My life purpose course is out right now, help you to find your life purpose. That might be a big piece of the puzzle that you might want to solve for yourself. But basically, the reason you want to sign up and stay tuned to actualize.org is because I'm really excited about helping to release these kind of videos that give you the mindsets and the distinctions you need to become more aware about what's actually going on in your life, so that you get the more fulfilling, successful kind of life that you have always wanted but have been struggling to get. And one of the reasons you've been struggling to get it is because you don't have the necessary insights and distinctions, and these need to be built over time. So if you like my content, don't just watch one or two videos. Get on board and make a habit. Make a habit of doing personal development. Make a habit of every single week, you know, reading a little bit of a book here or watching a video here or listening to some audio program there or maybe discussing it with your friends or doing some journaling, you know, turn this stuff into a habit and you'll be shocked at how much growth you can get in just a couple of years of maintaining and building this up. And before you know it, you're going to turn into a self-help junkie like me. All right, I'm out of here. Sign up and I'll see you soon.